This week's After Dinner Scientist is our man from the National Poison Centre in Dunedin, our toxicologist, Leo Shep. Kia ora, Leo. Welcome back to Nights.
Yeah, hi, Brian.
Leo, you're speaking to us from a hotel lobby in San Diego. I hope you're not
correct.
On your way to, I hope you're not on your way to Europe, Leo.
I know. I saw that about an hour ago, and I got an email from the United States government warning me as well. Keep up with updates. And I'm going, oh yeah, okay, this is going to be fun. I'm leaving tomorrow, back to NZ.
Ah, you're going in the right direction, Leo. That's all I'm going to say on that.
I think I would totally agree.
Unless there's something you want to say about it, but let's get on to the topic that you wanted to share with us today, and that is.
Yeah, sure.
Toxic chemicals that you might find in honey because the bees went to the wrong flowers. How's that for a summary?
Not a bad start. Yeah, in some parts of the world, I'd put in brackets.
In some parts of the world. Especially
yes.
Turkey.
Yes.
Okay, and what particular...
Why
Turkey? Well, yes, I was going to come to that, but the first question in my mind is, well, what plants, what flowers?
They are rhododendrons and azaleas and... And mountain laurels, some of the species contain what they call granatoxin, okay, or granatoxins. Some do and some don't, and some they vary depending on geographical locations, on temperature, and all that sort of stuff. But it seems to be quite prevalent in northeast Turkey around the Black Sea, and the bees pick up the nectar and they take it back to the. There's a lot of distraction here, but anyway, we'll continue.
At the moment, we can hear you fine, Leo. No doubt somebody who's trying to get back to Europe is a bit upset, but we'll carry on.
Okay. And they take it to the hive, and then it gets processed into honey. And then some poor individual come along and eat the honey, and bingo, they come down with symptoms.
Granatoxin, is that what you said?
That's right.
Okay, yeah. Now, so the toxin is in what, the pollen or the nectar in the flower?
They tend to think it's in the nectar, and then as I said, the bee comes along and picks up the nectar and then takes it back and then concentrates it into the honey. So it would appear to be the nectar.
And the process of the bees making the honey, is it concentrate the poison, make it more toxic?
I assume so. I haven't really looked into that side of it. You always ask me these questions.
I know, and here you are at the Best Western in San Diego, and you're doing a really good job, given that we couldn't speak to you in your room for some reason because the phone wouldn't take calls from New Zealand or something like that. Anyway, so, but maybe you can answer this question, Leo. Why do you know why it's geographically discrete in terms of why isn't it rhododendrons everywhere? Because as soon as I saw your notes, rhododendrons, I thought, wow, we've got loads of rhododendrons here in New Zealand.
It's a good question. I read an article about some American who talked about that, and he says sometimes when you've got conditions where there's a lot of frost, for example, a lot of plants die, the rhododendrons tend to be quite resilient and hardy, and therefore the bees focus on that. And that's in some areas of America, for example. But it's not that prevalent in America. It just seems to be around the Black Sea. You read papers all the time, peer-reviewed papers of this condition occurring, and it's always in northeast Turkey around the Black Sea, always, every time. And it could be, you know, there could be a lot of rhododendrons there, it could be the conditions, it could be the species that produces high concentrations of granatoxins, or all of the above, which leads to honey which you shouldn't be eating.
If you ingest this honey, what happens to you?
Okay, to answer that, we have to take one step back. The body maintains a balance in all aspects of the physiology. And one part of it is when you say, for example, you're sitting down, you stand up, and what happens, the blood goes from your head a little bit, and then you feel a bit dizzy for a couple of seconds, and you come right. And what happens is the blood pressure come into the heart, the venous return of the heart is reduced, the cardiac output drops down, and so does the blood pressure as you stand up, and then the receptors... what you call the stretch receptors or the pressure receptors around the heart and the internal carotid artery say, hello, there's a bit of drop in blood pressure. So they send a signal to the medulla in the brain, and the medulla says, we're onto this, and they will send a signal back, which will increase the heart rate, increase the cardiac output, and narrow the blood vessel diameter and through different processes, and there's some uptake of all that. It also releases adrenaline. Is that the heart rate? The venous return increases. The heart rate goes up. The cardiac output goes up, and the blood pressure goes up, and returns back to normal. And so it occurs within two or three beats. You'll go from that slightly hypotension back to normal tension.
It's extraordinary how quickly the body responds to basic movements. Is that called the Basal Jarish reflex?
No. My notes were slightly incorrect there. It was the baroreceptor reflex. We'll come to that in a second.
Okay.
So, you know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So what happens is along comes the granatoxin, and what that does, it mucks it up. So what it actually does is it interacts with what's called the sodium channels in the nerve, okay, the nerve. And so what happens when a signal is sent along the nerve fibre, what's involved is you get a change in concentration of electrolytes inside and outside the cell. So when an electrical signal comes along, what happens is a sodium channel opens up, sodium goes in, the potential difference between the inside and the outside changes to positive, and then that spikes the change, and then it drops normal by potassium going out, and then everything's returned to normal at the end of that cycle. What happens with the granatoxins, it's like getting a lever into that channel and keeps it open. And so the nerve keeps firing, and so what happens, signals that go to the brain medulla from those receptors, the brain thinks, hello, 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 hypertension here, because the signals are increased as opposed to decreasing under normal circumstances when you stand up. They said, oh, hello, it's increased signals, too much pressure, we'll have to adjust for this. And what happens is the heart rate will drop, the diameter of the blood vessels will increase, the cardiac output will drop, the blood pressure will drop, and it's not nice. And also you get some breathing issues as well. They call the triad of symptoms. The three of them is hypertension, the reduced blood pressure, bradycardia, and dyspnea, or the breathing difficulties. And that's called the Basal Jarish reflex.
So it's the problem that's called the Basal Jarish reflex.
It was discovered in the 1860s with my friend. Another alkaloid does the same thing called veratrum, which was my theory of the death of Alexander the Great.
Really?
So they used that to discover that reflex, these two gentlemen, back in 1865. So that's what happens, and so therefore they become very weak. They become very weak, sweating, blurred vision, vomiting, disorientated, hallucinations in some circumstances. So these are symptoms you can expect for somebody who takes the honey, typically the honey, very rarely part matter, but with the honey, and these symptoms start occurring. The onset of, say, nausea and vomiting occurs within half an hour to 3 hours, and they can persist for 24 hours, and you can complete recovery within 2 days, and death is very rare.
Right, because the worst case scenario would be what, the heart shuts down completely?
Well, no, the heart gets slow. It would get slow enough where you're not getting enough blood and nutrients to the brain, and then some people can suffer seizures. But that's very rare.
Now, you mentioned Alexander the Great. Are you saying that maybe he was poisoned by Black Sea honey? Was that another kind of toxin?
No. I was saying he was poisoned by that veratrum, which is another species. And back in the day, the Grecian days, they used that as an emetic to induce vomiting, to expel the vapors from your body. And I'm saying that they gave him too much of the stuff, and that eventually bowled him.
So it's a similar kind of toxin?
Yeah, well, it works in a similar manner. The structure of them are totally different. The chemical structure is totally different between the two of them. But they both work in the sodium channel, and jimmy them open and won't shut them. And so you have similar effects.
However, if this toxin is concentrated in honey around the Black Sea, now that's an area of lots of history. Are there any famous cases from back in classical times?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. There are two celebrated cases. Xenophon, he was around 401 BC. He led 10,000 Greek mercenaries out of Persia. He was, him and his friends were brought in as mercenaries for Cyrus the Younger through dubious means, and he was killed in battle not too far from Babylon. And so they're stuck in the middle of Iraq, and they had to get back to Greece through hostile territory, which they did. It's quite an amazing chronology. But in the process, once they filed, they managed to succeed beating the Turks, and then they came to the Black Sea, and they stole all this honey from the local villages, as they do, and they suffered those symptoms for 24 hours. Just bang, lines up with the symptoms we expect with this plant.
Okay, now here's a dumb. Here's another one of those unsolicited questions, Leo. So they stole honey from the local villagers. But why would the local villagers be storing tainted honey? Unless they left it out for them to get them.
Yeah, well, maybe they gave it to them, you know, to piss them off and to make them. Maybe, you're right. But that's what I read in the summary of his later writings when he got back to Greece. And you're right, maybe they're here. Take this. It's good for you. And then they.
That'll learn them.
That'll teach them. But then Pompey the Great was chasing after another guy, and just bear with me. There's people right beside me here.
Right. Okay. We can still hear you fine, Leo. As long as you can hear me,
I'll keep going.
Yeah, they're going to be wondering why you're talking about poison honey in the Black Sea in classical times. But you know,
Spanish.
Yeah. Tell them you're talking in an important interview with Radio New Zealand.
That's right, in English.
Yes, that'll really stump them. Anyway, Pompey's army.
Pompey, he was chasing Mithridates and his Persian army. And what they did was chemical warfare. One of the early examples of chemical warfare. So they just left around the area, honey. For them to find, which we don't, of course, soldiers in those days, they had to go through the local countryside to forage for food, and they said, "Shit, well, look at this all this honey here, let's grab it." And they grabbed it, and they ate it, and they had the symptoms, and then along came Mithridates with his army and killed about 1,000 soldiers.
Really?
And delayed his stay of execution. Yeah, apparently.
They must have eaten a lot of honey, though, eh?
Oh, absolutely. They probably left a lot out for them.
So this is a toxin that changed the course of classical history.
Well, they reckon. I mean, this is stretching my knowledge, and I'm sure a classical scholar will castigate me for this. But I read somewhere that because his campaign was delayed for 3 years as a result of that incident, when he finally got back to Rome, he didn't get the glory he wanted, which eventually led to the conflict with Caesar and his death in Egypt. How's that?
Ah, I see.
You're going to get some emails correcting that.
I'm sure we will, you know. And if somebody wants to contribute with a bit of knowledge of that classical era, please text us on 2101. I wanted to ask you, Leo, what others I can think of straight off the top of my head, and we have spoken about it, I think, examples of toxins in our own honey here in New Zealand, for example, tutu.
Oh,
if the bees get into the tutu, then that's trouble with your honey, isn't it?
Let me Google it.
Yeah, you got a laptop in front of you.
I do indeed, right in front of me.
Tutu.
Normally, tutu. Yes, tutu honey.
Yeah. Are there any other examples of honey that's made us sick because the bees went to flowers? That's another question, actually, Leo. It obviously doesn't affect the bees, does it?
It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't. No.
So it's not the wrong flowers for them, it's just the wrong flowers for us eating the honey.
Exactly, and there are some parts of the Waikato you don't have tutu. You don't buy honey at certain times of the year. And I think there was a couple of cases, there was a case about 4 or 5 years ago where people were selling it on the side of the road, and we got calls at the poison centre of people seizing.
People having seizures?
Rightly. Yeah, there was a paper published on it, actually. A couple of colleagues from work published it a couple of years later. I think it's a New Zealand Medical Journal, if I remember right. It's all coming back to me now as we talk. Yeah, tutu.
Has it got a similar kind of toxin?
No, totally different. It acts, it prevents the action potential and it makes it crumbs the intensity greater from virality, which leads uncontrolled, which leads to seizures.
But with rhododendrons, it's not everywhere. Because
yep.
that's the remarkable thing. Or we're not able to complete. For example, if you've got a rhododendron, you've got your own bees, and you've got a rhododendron in your backyard, and you've got hives, as in beehives,
yep.
would you advise caution, or do you think not likely to be a problem? Have you ever come across a case in New Zealand?
Never, no. There's no evidence in New Zealand, because the bees can cherry pick different plants. That's what my reading of it is. It's just the seams around the northeast part by the Black Sea, northeast part of Turkey is particularly vulnerable, and sometimes in some of the crumbs, don't quote me, alpine regions of America, it can be an issue, but I've never heard anything in New Zealand, never. So the bees cherry pick, and maybe the concentration of grand toxins in the rhododendrons in the Black Sea region may be more substantially greater than they are anywhere else in the world. That could be the answer, but I've never heard of it in New Zealand, never.
Do most people poisoned by garanotoxins recover?
They must, because
you said death is pretty rare.
It's very rare, that's right. You just make sure you've got no enemies around while you're under the influence, that's all.
And if they offer you honey, maybe just, I don't know, bring in the tester.
Beware of Greeks bearing gifts. Beware of Persians bearing gifts.
Now, I can't speak to you when you're at the Best Western Yacht Harbour Hotel in San Diego and not ask you, what are you doing there, Leo? Is this a holiday? Or have you been up there and work?
well, I'm just upgrading my skills and the work I'm doing now. So I am available to the police if they need me, right? I formally retired last year and went my own way, as it were, as we all do when we retire. You'll find out. The other work I do on the side has been increasing slightly, and so I thought, crumbs, I better get some training in this. So I went to this conference, these seminars here in San Diego. I was the only Kiwi ever there, and they thought I was something unique, like an endangered bird.
Well, of course you are.
And I was there for... Of course I am. Of course we are. All 5 million of us.
Yeah.
And I was there for two courses for four days, and then I'm doing a bit of tiki touring. So I went to the Midway. I'll send you a photo. At the Midway aircraft carrier, and today I went to San Diego Zoo.
Ah.
As you do when you're in San Diego.
Okay, so you've been checking out the sights at the harbour.
Yeah, and I took a train down to the border and had a look.
Oh, fantastic. That's the way to do it.
I was amazed. You're walking, you see, and I was amazed. San Ysidro, I think it's called. I was amazed how many money changers there were there. You know, we're talking about fishing ones there. It was heaps of them. And all these people, and I followed them right up to the turnstile. I talked to one guy at the one border control. I said, how far I can go? He said, sir, don't go through the turnstile. So I went up to the turnstile and I stopped and came back. I took a few photos and came back, and I sent them to one of my kids. And
Leo, with this announcement today from President Trump that travel to Europe, I think it's Europe except for the United Kingdom. I'm not entirely
That's
clear
right.
about that.
That's
so
right.
you could travel to London if you wanted to.
That's right, you can. I'm not going to London, I'm coming back to Zealand, but
yeah.
you can.
Yeah,
I got an email from a Risk Alert United States email. It says Risk Alert 3, Level 3, travels are advised, ... That came about an hour ago. So, in San Diego itself, nobody's wearing masks. They've got hand sanitizers around. Nobody seems to be worried about it, because there's only been one case so far. But America as a whole has taken it quite seriously.
Well, Leo, I hope you get back all right. And
so
the border between us and the United States isn't closed before you get back to Auckland and Dunedin,
That's right.
actually.
That's right.
And we look forward to you sharing your new knowledge with us later on this year.
Yeah, we'll see how we go. We'll see how we go.
Leo, thanks so much. Have a lovely time. Have some honey on toast for us, but not from the Black Sea.
Not from the Black Sea. And you make sure you don't get any from the Waikato.
Yeah, good point, Leo. Thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, cheers.
Leo Shep speaking to us from the lobby of the Best Western Yacht Harbour Hotel in San Diego, because the phone in his room wasn't working. It's nothing to do with the COVID-19 business. Hopefully he'll make it back to New Zealand, and the next time we speak to him about toxins will be in Dunedin a couple of months from now.